Enjoy weekends with Wendy, Saturday and Sunday mornings here on The One.
The One. Our playlist goes on for days.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the Raider Wrap here on KYMN 95.1. The One and AM 1080. It's 10 o'clock. We got about, I don't know, what is it, 11 degrees outside, something like that? Maybe not even that much. It's kind of crazy. It's actually cooler than that. It might get to 11 today. 2 degrees currently with overcast skies. No, I disagree with the overcast skies. I think the meteorologist slept on his wrong side of the pillow or something like that, because definitely not overcast right now. It looks like plenty of sunshine, actually, anticipated for much of the day, I would think so. Warming up to about a high of 11 today, and then partly cloudy tonight, possibly. And it should be cool enough to, yes, listen up. It's going to be about minus one. The wind chill value is going to be as low as 10 below. Then for tomorrow, it looks like mostly sunny skies, warming up to 12 degrees, but still wind chills at a minus 13 for tomorrow. Tomorrow night, mostly clear, low around zero. North winds 5 to 10, so not too shabby that way. Monday, mostly sunny, a high of 15 above. For Monday night, mostly cloudy, cooling off to 4 above. And it doesn't look like any other negative temperatures throughout the rest of the week. So it should be pretty pleasant for the most part. I see plenty of sunshine. That's what I see. And 2 degrees above zero in the Cannon Valley. Let's find out what's going on with the Raiders scoreboard. Grant Selko has more. Grant, what's been happening this week? Show us. Talk to us. What's up?
Good morning, Raider Nation, and welcome to this week's Raider Wrap. I'm your host, Grant Selko, and you are listening to the scoreboard. Last Saturday, our girls' hockey team had their third and final game of their Christmas tournament. They faced off against the Farmington Tigers, who were also the hosts of this three-day-long tournament. The first period was a close one, with the score being 2-1 in favor of the Tigers closing in the first period. Taylor Crown scored Northfield's goal in the first period. The Raiders made up that one-point difference in the second period, scoring twice with the goals coming from Taylor Crown and Mia Miller. The Tigers kept the Raiders in a close competition, also scoring a goal of their own. The score at the end of the second period was tied up 3-3, which intensified the game even more than before heading into the third period. The third period ended with a score 4-4 with a power play goal from Mia Miller, which sent the game into overtime. The Tigers eventually scored the ending goal in overtime with a final score of 5-4 in favor of Farmington. The boys swimming and diving team hosted the Austin Packers here home on Thursday, beating them 94-68. The Raider girls basketball team, Rochester John Marshall, here at home on Thursday, narrowly beating out the Rock with a final score of 49-46 in favor of the Raiders. Callie Lynch and McKenna Quinnell led the Raiders in points, each scoring 12. The boys' basketball team traveled to Rochester to face off John Marshall on Thursday, losing a close game with a final score of 59-50 in favor of JM. The Northfield wrestling team had a meet last night in La Crosse, Wisconsin, called the Clash. They won their first round against the nationally ranked Don Bosco 36-33. The Alpine ski team raced in the Welch Village Invite yesterday. The girls' team placed second overall, with the fastest skiers being Clara Wilson in first, Maddie Lauritz in 13th, and Annika Johnson in 15th. The boys also had a good showing, with Tommy Cahoon placing 7th and Bodie Balfour getting 13th. That's the scoreboard on the Raider app. You are listening to KYMN 95.1, The One.
All right, thanks, Grant. Looks like we got the Nordic got in. So, hey, congratulations to them. A little bit of snow out there still for the Nordic team, and we'll hopefully get some of the Nordic team or the cross-country team on here and some of the coaches Wrestling's going on. There's fun stuff going on all over the place. There's fun stuff going on today as well. The girls' hockey team traveled to Moorhead today. Yeah, and they're going to take on Moorhead. And they just lost 5-4 the other night against Farmington in that Schmitz-Mackey Holiday Classic up there. And then the boys, they travel, I believe, to Mankato West today at 3 o'clock as well. And so they're coming off of a nice win against Detroit Lakes a week ago. And so the boys playing on the 28th, they played on a Saturday, the 21st, the 28th, the 4th, and now the 11th. So they get 4 games in 4 weeks, and that's going to be some really serious good time for them to kind of huddle up and heal up, if you will. 5 minutes after 10 o'clock, we're going to try to shift our direction, hopefully into the gymnasium and welcome in the Highliners. Brooke Sexton, I believe, is on the phone call with me. Brooke, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good. How are you?
She is here. She is there. She is everywhere. She is a Highliner. Where are the Highliners at this morning?
We are at the high school practicing before we go off to compete today.
Where do you compete today?
We're at Two Rivers today, high school.
Two Rivers.
Yep.
Okay.
Up in Mendota Heights, I believe.
Okay. Okay. So how many people are going to be in Mendota Heights today?
I think there's about 8 teams that we'll compete against.
Okay. So does the schedule, who picks the schedule for the Highliners? That's a little bit different than your regular sports.
It is, yeah. So we have just a few that the MSHSL will pick, like a conference and the sections. And then other than that, they're all invites. And so you get invited by other teams to go on Saturdays and compete at their competitions that they put on as a school.
Okay. So have you been to Mendota Heights? Have you been to this arena before?
We have. Yep. And we did pretty good last year, and we're looking good for this round too, as long as we put some good performances on the floor.
So how long have you been coaching the Highliners?
This will be my 3rd year as a full-time assistant.
Okay. Where'd you come from before that?
I was a Highliner for 6 years myself.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're a Highliner, so you can only be a Highliner until you're a senior in high school. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So you basically got out of high school and you came right on and became an assistant, or did you go somewhere else and do some other things?
I went to the U of M and I was on a club team there for my 4 years of undergrad. And then when I graduated, I was a summer coach, and then they must have liked me because they asked me to stay, and I've been here ever since.
Nice. So you're going to high school. You're start like a 6th grade, 7th grade. You're on the Highliner team. Now you're coaching it. Was that in your bucket list at some
Absolutely.
Point in your life?
Absolutely, it was. I'm drawn to sports. I'm drawn to athletes. I want to be a physical therapist. I have a couple interviews right now for Doctor of Physical Therapy, and I will be headed back to school. So unfortunately, I will be done coaching soon, but I hope to come back then after that. It's definitely always been a dream of mine, and it has been a dream come true coaching them, especially going to state last year and on our road to state again this year.
So you're going to go back and get your doctorate. Is that correct?
Yep. Correct.
So is that what you've applied for, or do you got to get, you go to some place where you're actually kind of doing physical therapy? Let's call it an internship. Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah.
Is that what you're doing? You're planning on, you've interviewed for some internships so that you can go and work in a facility and then still go to college and get the necessary degree that you need.
Yeah, I actually work for the rehab clinics for the Northfield Hospital right now, and I've already applied and received some invites to interview, so I'll be doing those soon, and by next year possibly be in school again for my doctorate in physical therapy. Yep.
So you're not attending any school right now, you're just kind of handling life as it is?
Absolutely.
Is there something else that you do outside of the Highliners?
Yeah, I work for the Northfield Hospital.
So you do work specifically for the hospital?
Yep.
So what are you an RN? You're not an RN, are you?
Nope, I'm a rehab technician. So okay. I help the therapists when they need some help with patients or just help the clinic keep moving.
But now you want to actually be the physical therapist. You want to be the doctor of physical therapy.
Exactly, 100%.
Okay. So You were there last year when they were at the state, and we were fortunate enough to get Jasmine on after the fact, which I was kind of bummed about because you guys were getting ready to go and nobody actually, we knew you were going, we knew you were good, we just didn't know how good you were. And and then it was kind of, we found out, hey, the Highlighters won. Oh, man. So my objective is with this program is always to bring light to these programs that don't get a lot of light. You know, the football team gets it, the hockey team gets it, the basketball team all gets it. But you know what? You never see the choir team, you never see the dance team, you never see the, you know, the cheerleading team, you never hear about the chess team. You know what I mean? I mean, and those are activities. Those are people. Those are legitimate, you know, activities for young people. And, you know, I want to give a little shout out to some people. So that's the primary reason we've been trying to get you on here. Now we're halfway. How far are we through the season? When did you start? When's the end of the season for the Highliners?
And I just want to say first that we can't appreciate you more for doing that. We fight as coaches for these girls to get the recognition they deserve, and it's people like you who help us get them there. So thank you.
You're welcome. I was a chess player, by the way.
Really awesome.
Just so you know. Yeah, I was really good.
Awesome. And so our season started about midway through October. We actually have a preseason. That's 2 weeks of choreographing the routines. So us coaches and a select group of dancers actually choreograph the routines ourselves. And then about the end of October, we start our actual season and we can start teaching all the other girls. And then we will end state this year. We'll actually be on Valentine's Day.
Oh, wow. Sweet.
Right? It'll be the perfect Valentine's Day gift.
So, okay. So the girls get to help with writing the choreography. I mean, so you must have an idea, as does Jasmine, right? I mean, you guys have some ideas. And then how do you do that? I mean, how do you present that to these young people and go, okay, we're basically going to let you create this. How does that whole process go?
I mean, it helps that they all absolutely love it and they're super excited to do it. But we are planning before the season even ends for next season. Dance is probably, and this isn't to bring down any other sport, but it is one of the most competitive sports I've ever seen in the way that you have to do so much work outside. You have to have your music prepared and your entire dance prepared before the season even starts.
Oh.
Not to say other teams don't have to have their plays memorized, but...
So
you have to have it all ready, and so,
Brooke,
we as coaches,
you're literally, you pick one routine all year, or do you have multiple ones?
Yeah, so as a team, we have 5 routines. We have a varsity kick and a varsity jazz, which is 2 different routines, and then we have a JV kick and a JV jazz, and then a B squad jazz.
Okay, but
the
varsity performs the same dance all year long. Am I misinterpreting that?
Nope, that is correct. Yep, we do. There will be subtle changes, like we're like, oh, we need to add a different kick or do something. Like small changes in the choreography or the formation, but it's the same theme overall. There are some teams that about halfway, so winter break about right now, they will completely change and go a different direction. They call them like slough dances in the first half, but we have not done that. We thought about it before, but it's a lot of extra work. So we like to keep our dancers doing the same dance because then they can perfect it more as the season goes on. They have more time to get even better.
As in gymnastics, does Highliners have a degree of difficulty?
We do. Yep. And it's in different categories of it. So we'll have like a difficulty of routine choreography, difficulty of the formations and transitions. So the way the girls move on the floor. We'll have difficulty of kicks. So making sure that they're not just kicking straight up and down. They have to open them up to the side. They have to bring them around and hinge them and whatnot. Yeah. So there is definitely difficulty of the routine that we are scored on.
So then... Based on, I mean, again, you say you tweak certain things. So as you get closer and closer into January, February, things of that nature, are you tweaking those dances to a point to maybe add just a little bit more difficulty so that hopefully you get an advantage when you go into those types of contests?
Absolutely. We winter break is our big turn time where we, if we're going to make any cuts or if we're going to make the routine, make any big changes, we do it during winter break, during around the Christmas and time when they have a lot of time off. But we're always working to make it harder, working to make it better, flow better. Yeah. consistently. We are working to make it what it needs to be, because it can be hard at first to see it till you see it on the floor. Then once you see it on the floor, you know what needs to change.
So how many people signed up at the beginning of the year versus how many will end at the end of the year?
We have 32 girls. That's counting JV. JV in a couple weeks will actually end their season, and then varsity goes on to the postseason.
Does any of the JV get the opportunity to ride the bus with you or anything like that?
Yeah, we all ride the bus together as a team. We really value making sure that the girls know that if you're a Highliner, you're part of this team, and we're all a team together, no matter what team you make. And there's perks to being on JV, and there's perks to being on varsity for sure. But yeah, we always ride the bus together. We compete together. We sit in the stands and cheer each other on. We're definitely one team through and through. We just perform at different times.
So you've got the varsity and the junior varsity. And then, so you've got 32 people. How many people actually compete? Like this afternoon, you go to Mendota, you're going to go in there. What do you get, one shot, two shots? Do you get one, you know, one and done, or how's that work?
Oh, yeah, one and done. You get one shot out on that floor, and you hope you put your best performance out there.
Okay.
But we have 16 right now on our varsity that will perform for kick, and that would put – we have a couple out. So I believe there's 12 to 13 on JV. We have a couple with injuries, unfortunately.
God, so varsity will go 16, though. You got all 16 today, right?
Absolutely, yep.
Can you do more?
We can. We started with 20, and we decided that we wanted to cut down a little bit at winter break. So,
Was that just something that you looked at that and assessed that? And there has to be a decision why you decided to cut it back. Was it easier from a standpoint for coaching? Was it just easier for consistency? What kind of generated the reason to go from 20 to 16?
Yeah. I mean, it's always the toughest decision, but like we Cindy Clow, she's a very, very popular. She runs Just for Kicks, and she's a phenomenal coach. And she has the saying that the standard's the standard. And so we've tried to take that on and say that we set a standard, we gave everyone the shot. And if we felt like by winter break, we told them when winter break comes around, if you're not quite there yet, we're going to move you to an alternate, which means they're still on varsity. They're just not performing with the team. Mm-hmm. But if we had a girl out or sick or injured, they would go in. And so it's always a super tough decision, but we have to keep ourselves to that standard, especially on our road back to state for the second time in almost two decades. So.
And yeah. who's your fiercest competitor, would you say, out there right now?
We are definitely fighting with Albert Lee and Faribault and South St. Paul. They were our big ones last year as well. And we see them as great competition. They are phenomenal teams, phenomenal dancers. And we always tell the girls, if somebody is cheering because they beat you, it's because they saw you as competition. So.
Right. Well, it is a competition after all. It still is.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's still fun, I'm sure, but it's still, well, it's no different. It really is no different. If you play basketball, yeah, it's competition, but it's got to be fun, because otherwise, why would you do it? You know what I mean?
Absolutely, exactly.
if you were to go play basketball or be on the Highliners and it was a pain and it was unbearable to do, why would you do it? You know, why would you bring that on? So that's
exactly,
kind of cool.
Exactly.
Brooke Sexton is the assistant coach to the girls Highliners team here. I know that there's a lot of stuff that goes into the Highliners. There's a lot of support. From the outside, and I want to say there was a booster club. I guess you call it a booster club, or I think a lot of the mothers and stuff like that, and they kind of have their own little Highliner support team and stuff like that to kind of help raise money. Is that kind of accurate there, or is the Highliners get some funding from the state, from the high school? How does that all work out to help fund this program?
Yeah, we do. We do. I believe all sports get money from the high school, but we do 100% have our own parent board or booster club. We're kind of interchangeable names. They are absolutely phenomenal. They help to put on our invites, and anytime we want to host something, they also run and put on all of our fundraisers. They're the absolute best. They raised an insane amount of money this year. I think in one fundraiser, we got over $14,000.
Wow.
Like, they have done an amazing job, and we can't speak highly enough about them. It really allows us coaches to focus on the girls and for them to focus on more of that background stuff when the season is running. But yeah, they're amazing. And yeah,
so
considering costumes can get up to $500 a piece.
Wow.
They are lifesavers.
Really? 500 bucks yep. a pop, huh?
Yeah.
Well, how many do you get? You get one, or if you get one at the beginning of the year and you go, okay, now dry clean only.
Yep. And actually, yeah, the girls get one all year round.
Okay. But every year it's a new one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
So who comes up with the uniforms?
We do as coaches. So we actually, this year we have like themes. So this year our varsity kick theme is pageant. So they all have sashes with different states on them. They wear crowns and it's super fun, super fun. Our costumes every year are going to relate to the theme. So last year we did the movie Rio
okay.
and we had some fun like ruffles that look kind of like feathers and whatnot. So the costumes usually just match the theme and they're super fun.
Okay, so they have pageants, they have crowns. You guys, don't you guys like dance and like jump up and down and do somersaults and stuff?
Oh yeah, we secure those things.
I was going to say, how do you strap them onto your head?
Yep, we a lot of bobby pins are holding those on. And we avoid the somersaults.
Okay, all right, very good. So you got 16 people on the floor. How many minutes do you get? Is it just a song and you're done?
Yep, there's a range of minutes. Ours is around 2:30.
Wow, it's not much.
So, yeah, no, and you do have to reach somewhere between 35 to 55 kicks. So they're doing that in just about a little under 3 minutes.
Okay, so yeah, all right, so you do that 180. How many kicks you got to get in?
Between 35 and 55.
Okay.
Back in my day, they were upwards of 75, but
wow,
they cut them down.
Any particular reason that you recall?
I think they're just 100% realizing that the human body is probably not meant to kick our face 75 times in 3 minutes.
Oh,
so
okay.
Well, they're being a little bit nicer.
Okay. Well, I'm sure they did the math there somehow, some way.
Yep, right.
So you're going to coach this year and then you're going to go back to school?
I'm hoping so. That's the plan. That's the plan.
So how has the team performed thus far? Obviously, you've gotten through the Christmas break. You've made your cuts. Have you competed since?
No, this will be our first time with the cuts, so kind of a new routine. It's very, very, very similar, but a little bit new formations with different numbers and whatnot. So this will be our first one. We're really looking for some high scores here.
Awesome. So the one question I need to ask is, like, okay, so let's say you're halfway through the season and you're like going, this routine just sucks. It just doesn't seem to be working. Can you switch it up right. or no? Are you stuck with that for the entire year?
You can absolutely change it. It would be so difficult, but
right.
there are, again, there's teams that do it. It's just a lot on the outside of practice and whatnot, but there are absolutely teams who do it. And if you are not feeling it, you can totally switch it up.
Have you gone up against Albert Lee, Faribault, or South St. Paul, or any of them this year yet?
We absolutely have. Yeah, we are sitting about right where we want to be. We with this with the cuts, we're looking for a little bit higher scores in kick, but Jazz, we're sitting right where we'd like to be on our way to state.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you were able to jump on board here this morning. Like I said, it's great to catch up to you at the end of the season. But it's always nice to catch up to you during the season so we can, like I say, give a little bit of kudos to the program and to just, you know, like I said, there's so many volunteers that are helping fund this thing, and there's so many things with the coaching and different things that have to transpire, and John Mahal, activities director, has to, you know, kind of work with you guys and scheduling and all that fun stuff. So there's a lot of stuff that's entailed to just bringing something to the Highliner and whatnot. Primarily, I'm guessing everything is done indoors. Is that correct, or is there outdoor activities for the Highliners?
Yep, indoors. In the summer or fall, we'll do some practicing outdoors, but everything is done indoors. The performances are done indoors on gym floors.
And it's primarily, it's just wintertime. That's when the season is.
Yep, season is wintertime, but we do a lot of preseason. These girls are phenomenal, and they work their booties off year-round.
Nice. So I've never danced a day in my life. I have no clue. I'm not a fan, you know, I'm not a basketball player. I'm not a hockey player, and I'm looking for something to do in the fall and whatnot, or in the fall and the winter as a student. And how do I get involved with this? Okay, let's say I'm in ninth grade, right? I mean, whatever. I'm looking for something to do. How do I get involved? And what are the prerequisites? I mean, you know what I mean? How do I even begin to get on this team?
Yeah, so there are really no prerequisites. If you wanted, we always do a try us out. So we don't necessarily, our tryout is the first day of practice in October. But around March, May time, we have a try us out, and that is more so just for girls to come, and we'll just work on a little bit of like a routine and some skills and whatnot, and so girls can kind of see what the Highliners are all about. It also helps us coaches get a feel of how many people are interested, so we can start planning for costumes and whatnot. But yeah, and then we don't make cuts as of right now in our organization. We don't make any cuts. We just, if you're not varsity level, you're absolutely JV level. So we welcome everybody of all skill types, and we are more than willing to help teach those who have never danced. We've actually had a couple come in, and we love it. We push then for fall and summer because we do a lot of technique and breaking everything down then when we have the time and we're not looking to compete. So there's lots of ways to get involved. I know the school puts out when we do the try us outs, and we post on our Instagram and our Facebook, and there will be flyers in the high school, but we welcome absolutely everyone.
Is there like just a Highliners Instagram page or Facebook page?
Yep, Northfield Highliners DT, so like dance team.
Okay, so Highliners DT, if you want to tune in once in a while. And you don't have the dates exactly for those try us out yet.
Not quite yet, nope.
Okay, well, all right. So with that said, I will let you get back to doing what you're doing because you've got a competition this afternoon. So, Brooke, I appreciate the amount of time that you were able to put in this morning. We really appreciate the information, and we're glad to bring it to the you know, get a little familiarity out there. And let's talk again closer to February, shall we?
Yeah, I'd love that. Thank you so much for calling. We appreciate everything you do.
All righty. It's Brooke Sexton is the assistant coach to the Highliner team, the Northfield Highliner team. So you can go to their Facebook page. You can check it out, see what's going on with them. Plus, you can try them out back in the spring. So if you've got a person that wants to participate and wants to be a part of the Highliners team and thinks it's intriguing and maybe it's something they have a passion for, they can definitely try out even if you haven't gotten any experience. You just got to go out there. And sounds like Brooke and Jasmine are a welcoming group that will bring you into the program, bring you in and help you get set up and going. And, you know, they'll obviously they welcome you in along with the team. So everyone is very welcoming. So it's a good thing. So welcome to the Highliners. We're going to take a little short break. It's about 27 minutes after. We're a couple degrees above the freezing mark here this morning. I got to take a break. Then I got to make a phone call, and I got to try to get this dude named Doug Davis on the program here. That's a swim and dive coach. You know, he's supposed to have been on the program like 18 times already this season, but we just can't seem to squeeze him in time. But there's a rumor out there that he might actually be on the telephone here in a couple of minutes. Doug Davis, head coach, swim and dive. Oh, by the way, yeah, they're off to an undefeated season again. All right, take a break. We'll come back. Hopefully, we'll talk to Doug Davis on the other side. You're listening to the Raider Rap right here on 95.1 The One and AM 1080 KYMN.
This is Barb from Professional Dental Group, letting you know that the doctors and staff of Professional Dental Group are proud to call themselves Northfield Raiders sports fans. Whether scheduling for an implant, mouth guard, or general visit, we look forward to providing you with the same exceptional care that Professional Dental Group has delivered for over 45 years. So on behalf of Dr. Becky Johnson, Dr. John Nowak, Dr. Brian Cravey, Dr. Tyler Yonke, and Dr. Mallory Peterson, go Raiders!
This is Paul Ryland with Johnson Ryland Builders Remodelers. If you want to move in the warm months of the year, you have to make planning and purchasing decisions in the cold months of the year. Designing and building a new home can be one of the most rewarding things you can do for your family. As my dad used to say, God forbid you'd buy a used house when you can buy a new one for me today. Our new model home at 202 Ford Street is ready to be viewed. Check online for open house schedules today. Hit our website today, jrbr.builders, Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers, where custom homes meet your budget and your dreams.
Wow, 12 years in business. All the hard work and struggles have led to growth and success. And now, after a dozen years under the belt, it's all smooth sailing from here, right? Maybe, maybe not. Looking back, it's the amazing bankers at Merchants Bank that have always been there to lean on. As relationships build, the banker has become a trusted advisor and part of the team. In today's world, things may not always be easy, but Merchants Bank has provided the resource and expertise we've all needed along the way. We've always worked together.
95.1. The One.
Hey, good morning and welcome back to the Raider Wrap here on KYMN 95.1 The One and AM 1080. Streaming live, as they say, on KYMNradio.net. Hey, you got something you want to ask us? You can do so. You can just send us an email at studio@KYMNradio.com. That's right, studio@KYMNradio.com. And if you've got a question that you would like to ask somebody, we could do that. So Doug Davis is our head coach and or guest aficionado this morning. Doug, good morning.
Good morning, Jimmy.
How are you?
I'm doing fantastic this morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right. So hopefully, if you're listening to this and you got a question for Doug and the swim team or just something random about the swim team, like what the temperature is or something like that, all you got to do is just send it over to studio@kymnradio.com. Send me a quick question. I'll ask Doug if it's appropriate, of course, and then I will see if we can get Doug to answer the question. So get your fingers to type in. Let's see if there's any questions. I'm going to start off with, here we go again. Another
yes.
start. And the last one I just read, let me pull this up here. You're the second week into the new season. You're a couple meets in to the 2024-25, and your team posted 80 season lifetime bests in the last competition you're in. What is in the water here for this swim team? What's going on?
Well, you know, we ship in some special water from a combination of places around the world. You know, it's lighter than most of the other.
So the Himalayan salt mountains and stuff like that, you bring all that water in?
Yes. In our lanes only.
In your lanes only. Yeah,
not the competitors.
Oh, it's not a free-flowing pool. Okay, gotcha.
No,
it's isolated.
Yes,
that's
exactly,
why. No. That's why the Raiders swim team just cannot get beat. What is going? No, congratulations again, Doug. I mean,
Thank you.
I mean, obviously, you've established a program, and I know you don't like to take pats on the back, and you know you're always about the kids and whatnot. But man, dude, you've built a program. You've got a lot of young kids out there that are doing it all and giving it their all. 80 season lifetime bests, and you're only a couple game, you know, a couple matches into the season. What?
Right.
How do you when you look at that as a coach, Doug?
Yes,
you haven't even tapered yet. I mean, what are you thinking? I mean, what's the expectation? You're like, my God, these guys are jumping out of the water.
Yes, well, you know, you used the word right there, Jimmy, that I would use, and that is kind of the expectation. It's the mindset that we try to teach these boys. These are young, teenage boys from the age of 12 up to maybe 18. Varying ranges. And so, keeping a team together that has very young boys and old boys too, the different maturity levels is a challenge. And with that comes, things that we have to do to try to make sure that everybody feels like they belong and they're part of the team. But I think that's part of what our upperclassmen do real well is that, young guys aren't on like some kind of pecking order for seniority. They make them feel welcome. These guys expect to swim fast. As you said, the team has worked hard. We've tried hard over the years to establish, kind of a culture of accountability, a culture of hard work. And, these guys buy into, how we train, what we try to do. The young men, we're trying to make them out to be as well as good athletes. And they work hard in the pool. And even though I've been doing this for close to 30 years here in Northfield, 35 years total, I still will sit back and sometimes sit down in amazement and say, what did I just see? What just happened?
Right.
Even though I know what I should be expecting and what these guys are capable of doing, what they're willing to bring each day, they even continue to amaze me. So I'm a spectator just like you sometimes and just enjoying the ride.
Sure. But it just seems to me that it's like, when did they peak? When did they plateau? And then you're like going, okay, so you're 3-0 on dual meets, both the JV and you guys. So you've started out the season again really good. To me, it would be like, okay, when did they hit this plateau? And then can I teach them anything else? And can I push them any farther? Yep. It's like,
Right.
You know, like if this was a week before state and you and I were talking like this and you're like going, yeah, they just did 80, you know, lifetime best, blah. You know, it's like, Okay, well, they're peaking. This is fantastic.
You're right.
You're hardly, this season is just underway. This is like, what else can you do to push them even farther?
Well, you find things. You just have to. You know, these boys are great guys. They're wonderful individuals. They're fine young men. It's hard to find the right descriptors for them because they're 12-year-old seventh graders starting out their first year in their experience with our program to guys that have been with us for 6 years, and they're looking to wrap up their senior season and then look to what's beyond that. You know, and they all have different interests. You know, some of these guys are in other activities too. So they, you know, sometimes we share them at times with robotics, or, you know, they've got a choir. You know, they're involved in other outside activities and interests as well. And so we've got boys that love to swim and dive, and I think hopefully found a passion for this particular sport, but are also kind of well-rounded individuals and do a lot of other things. And so, yeah, when we're peaking or when we're having this kind of success early on, it's like, all right, you know, you go back and you tell the boys, all right, yes, we should be excited about this, but expect this. Mm-hmm. You know, you've been working hard. You deserve to have good things happen. And so, you know, kind of learn to try to understand that and believe that if you do put in the work, you know, you're going to get the results. And so, yeah, we get these kind of results now, and the boy's like, wow, man, we could even be faster than this. Like, all right, well, then let's crank it up a notch. Let's push these buttons a little bit more, and let's just kind of keep going and see what we can find.
I mean, 35 years is a long time to coach, and you've seen a lot of things. And you've seen a lot of greatness, and you've probably seen some things where there's always been room for improvement.
Right.
But, again, you're three. you're hardly. It's like, how do you keep finding stuff? I mean, how do you keep driving them? I mean, obviously, in order for them to continue, I mean, if they're getting better, the other teams are getting better, right? I mean, that's just the way it is. But would you say, and I don't want to jinx the team or anything like that, but would you say that your team is dominating the other teams at this point?
It's a couple things. From the standpoint of, if you want to use that word dominating, yes. From the standpoint of, you take a look at, well, Austin came up this last weekend, and they brought up, I think, close to 20 athletes, so they're a little bit down in numbers, but they have three or four boys on that team that are some legitimate swimmers, and they got a kid by the name of Brent Dahl that was a top eight swimmer at the state meet last year, all-state kind of a kid, you know, a real legitimate swimmer. And, you know, he tangled with a couple of our top guys head-to-head, and we ended up beating him. You know, we swept all the events. We're just very fortunate that the boys that we've got right now, when we match up against other teams that have some pretty good athletes well, we match up with them head-to-head. And our guys right now have just been winning some of these races. And so establishing that kind of, that, if you want to call it, that dominance in the pool, and this idea that, you know, we're friends outside of the competition. The guys shake hands, they chit chat with each other before and after the meet. They, you know, they share stories. But when the whistle starts and the guys line up behind the blocks, they know now that, you know, we're swimming and we're not necessarily enemies, but, you know, we're competitors, and I'm not going to give you any quarter here. I'm going to go as hard as I can. And our guys bring that. And it's, you know, it's just been, you know, so far been producing just some amazing results. And so we're just, you know, we're going to hopefully keep doing that. And, you know, the teams that we've got in front of us will do the best to provide, you know, good experiences for them. But our guys are swimming the dual meets for fun and for enjoyment, to fine tune and to practice their skills. Hopefully team sections and true team state, which are coming up, our conference section and state meet more towards the end of the season. And we're just going to keep building on that.
Doug Davis is our guest this morning on the Raider Wrap for the swim and dive teams. So we've talked a little bit about just kind of where this team has started, and God knows where they're going to end. But hopefully there's some podiums at the end of all this. Let's talk a little bit really quick. You've got a senior group. They've got the 200 medley relay, and it's all seniors. So they broke, it sounds like, a record winning the 200 medley. It was a 1 minute, 40 seconds, and 36 thousandths. Two seconds faster than the previous record. Which record did they set? Was that a personal school record, or was that a State record.
So we have grade level records throughout within our team that allow the boys to have some fun. Gives them opportunities to kind of set goals and to try little things throughout the year, test themselves against boys that have come in the path. And so the senior group that the record that they broke was a senior group that led the team to our runner up state finish back in 2019. So about 6 years ago, and that was the group of Betterly. That was Jack Meehan. That was Ethan Schaefer, Beamer, those guys. They were a ridiculously talented group of boys as well. And so these guys like to have fun, so swimming back and forth can be a little bit monotonous and it can be difficult. If you don't play at swimming, you got to really train at it. Mm. And so we do a number of these things, like you said, to try to create fun, enjoyment, interest, challenges for these boys. And so we've got grade level records from seventh grade all the way up to seniors. And so the senior group of boys, all four seniors, their time that they swam was faster than the four seniors that put together that relay about 5-6 years ago by over 2 seconds. And again, that group of seniors was a group that led that team then to a runner-up finish in the state meet. And so whether that's in the cards or not, like you said, we don't know, because there's other teams out in the state that they're also getting equally as good as us, and we're still continuing to challenge or be challenged by the Breck Lakes and the St. Thomas Academies of the world. But yeah, these boys, that the 140 right there was like only a second and a half off the tool record. it crushed the senior class record by over 2 seconds. And the time that they posted, if you put it into the swim and dive bank, rankings in the state for Class A, it's probably going to be a top 3 or 4 swim right now in the state.
Oh, nice.
That's just our seniors that are doing this,
right.
not the other guys in the team. Yeah, so that was a pretty spunky swim.
are we deep again? Usually every year you've got a nice crew of young people coming up, 7th, 8th, 9th graders. I mean, and they're in the pool with the varsity. So is that legacy kind of continuing?
So far, so good. We boast numbers that are about, 3 or 4 bigger than last year. So I think last year we were on 32 boys on the team. We're about 35, 36 this year. So our numbers are up. And the numbers are up definitely in our 7th and 8th grade group. I think we've got 10, 11 boys that are in that middle school category. And so that's nice to see some young energy there. And we got some other boys that are new throughout the other grades. And so, from the standpoint of depth, we've got the numbers there. And as always, as boys either graduate and move on, or as you get those unfortunate, situations where boys just, drift off for other interests and they do different things and they leave opportunities for boys to take advantage of, our guys are... I'm already starting to see some boys are willing to and ready to step in to fill some of those roles. And, how deep we'll be and how we'll perform at that kind of a stage is yet to be seen, because our true team will be next weekend, our section meet. But the boys that we'll be asking to fill into some of those roles are already starting to show that they're ready for the challenge, and they're putting out some, like I said, those are the guys that are part of those 80 lifetime and season bests right now. And so, I'm hoping that it comes together again, and we boast a pretty deep team.
So you went mano-a-mano against Austin on Thursday, but today it's an invitational, so there's multiple teams down there, right?
Yeah, there'll be a couple teams down here for this modified kind of an invitation. It's been a bigger invite in the past, and this year the coach from Austin wanted to try to change the format up to give teams a little different flavor, because we're going to be, in the next couple weekends, seeing some traditional-style format invites with True Team, and then if we qualify beyond True Team, go to state, the standard slate of events. And so he wanted to do something to mix things up, and so we're going down today to swim a couple relays. Everybody can swim 50s in prelims, and then they'll qualify for finals, and there's a couple hundred time final events, and so it's a little different format. And so there'll be a couple teams down there today. We are able to bring a lot of our younger guys with too that wanted to come with, because this is kind of an open meet, it's not limited. And so, it's going to be fun. We'll see what we got.
So we don't talk. We rarely get this opportunity to talk about this. So I'm going to bring this to light, because usually we don't talk about our divers on this team. It's usually your medley team or something of that nature. But there's a young sophomore, Grayson Gray. Yep. Apparently, he's did an outstanding job against Austin, posted a score of 203.05, winning the event. Yep. So that has got to be that. Where did he come from?
Well, he's been on the team now. This is his fourth year, and he's been gradually kind of developing. Towards the end of last season, he started to I think there was something that switched in his brain where he was able to see the potential. And whether it was that he became a little bit more fearless a little less intimidated by some of the dives. He really started to, you know, challenge himself with some bigger DD dives, like the doubles, the two and a halves, the reverse doubles, and things like that. Throw in some of these bigger dives that you need to if you want to be like a serious threat to, or at least a serious consideration for one of those guys that might be vying for a top four spot in the section meet and maybe earning a spot into the state at the end of the year. And so, you know, there are milestones just like in swimming. There are milestones like breaking a minute in the 100 freestyle, breaking 2 minutes in the 200 freestyle. Those are pretty impressive milestones if you can do that. You go over 200 on six dives in diving. That's a pretty significant milestone. There aren't a lot of boys around that are able to do that. And so to do that, that was a pretty cool accomplishment. And so, yeah, he's really kind of growing into his own. He still is only a sophomore. He's still learning, and that's what's so cool about it. But, yeah, had a great meet against Austin, and just looking forward to hopefully having to see him continue to grow and develop this year. Maybe he's one of those unknown – maybe he's one of those surprises that at the end of the year – we hadn't really thought about from a development standpoint, him being ready to make that next step. Maybe he is. He's, you know, putting together a list, and maybe this is his season where he's going to grab that magic. But that was fun to see.
So from a state standpoint, state qualifying standpoint, whatever deal is, 205, would he get there or not? Is that a high enough score?
The score itself, it would indicate that he is throwing – degree of difficulty dives high enough and getting the scores high enough that he could put himself in that position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when unlike swimming and swimming, where at the section meet, we'll either be the top three automatic qualifiers or anybody that can swim the time standard.
Right.
So time standard would automatically get in the state meet. Diving doesn't have that because diving is a subjective sport and judges see different things and they throw scores out just kind of like in like high skating when they do that, you give them scores based on how you interpret a routine.
Right.
Divers are kind of done the same way. They get scored based on how they execute a dive. And so because of that, you know, there are four spots that are slotted for the divers to earn that state berth, and that is awarded at the section meet. And so the top four divers on that given day that score the highest points and the top four would advance on. 203 right now on six dives, I think would for sure put him in that conversation of being, you know, a potential for sure.
Awesome. Well, if it's any indication, like I said, posting 80 season highs, and now he has, you know, won that diving event, and hopefully you will continue to steer them in the right direction, Doug.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. That's the hope. I've got a great team around me that does a lot of the heavy lifting as well. And so while, you know, my name may be at the top of the ticket, you know, when we look at who the head coach is, you know, my assistant coaches, Brian Porter, Matt Detchen, have been absolutely amazing. I couldn't do what I do without them. And I've got, you know, a couple of just fantastic managers that do so much to help support these boys. And so we're, as a team, going to, you know, also try to shape, you know, these guys up and keep them pointing in the right direction.
Tall boy. Who's the tall boy? Who's the tall boy this year? Where is the tall boy? Is there a tall boy? If there's not, I can volunteer.
We don't have a tall boy. But yeah, if you want to come over someday and you want to be like a honorary tall boy, we'll figure something out.
Okay. Well, we should probably plan that. Maybe at state. You'll need a tall boy.
I can drag you along and bring you along as a tall boy for sure.
Well, speaking of driving, I hope you're not driving the bus. I hope you're just sitting on there. You're on a bus. You're past Faribault. You're on your way to Austin right now. You've got a meet this afternoon. 6 o'clock. No, is that right? No, that's next Thursday. You got another home meet. That's a dual meet, right?
Right. Mankato West is coming up. We'll host Mankato on Thursday.
Got it. But today you're out there. What time you jump in the pool again this afternoon? Noon?
The competition starts at 1 o'clock.
Okay. 1 o'clock. Well, okay. Well, is it at the high school? Do you know where?
Their pool is at Boston Ellis Middle School.
There you go. Austin Ellis Middle School.
Ellis Middle School.
Okay, just like Ellis Island, for those of that.
Exactly.
That can, yeah,
mm-hmm.
And welcome to Austin.
Exactly.
All right, Doug, appreciate it. As always, always a good time. Good luck to you and the boys, and keep on swimming.
Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate it.
All righty. Head coach Doug Davis of the boys' swim and dive team. Wow, and what an outstanding year already. They're already up and running and on their way. So we're going to take a little bit of a break. We'll come back. It's time, I believe, for Meet the Raider. And who we got? I think we got a Nordic ski team. Liam Borchens. Is that what it is? Borchens. Well, we'll find out. Barons. It looks like Barons. Sorry. Liam, it's Barons. And that'll be Grant Selko. We'll be doing the interview here this morning with our Meet the Raider here on the Raider Wrap. We're going to take a short break. Don't forget, if you got a question or something you'd like to have answered, and it doesn't matter when or how or what the event is or who we're talking to, you can just go to studio@kymnradio.net and send us an email and ask us a question on anything, whatever it is. Even if we don't know the answer, we will make something up. Don't you worry about that. We'll take a break. We'll be back. You're listening to the Raider Wrap on 95.1 The One and AM 1080, the one and only KYMN.
The man, the yellow van, called Service Master.
Water or fire damage? The experts at Service Master by Iatt provide peace of mind when disaster strikes your home or business. Don't know what to do next? We do. Demand the yellow van and call Service Master by Iatt today.
Demand the yellow van.
Heritage Dental Care in Northfield is a general dental clinic specializing in a variety of dental procedures and services. New patients and emergencies are welcomed 5 days a week. Heritage Dental Care is a proud supporter of Northfield Athletics and wish all of our athletes the best of luck this season. Make an appointment today with Dr. David Bress, Dr. David Buck, or Dr. Michael Thompson. Go Raiders!
Community banking at its best. Whether you are looking to improve your financial future, planning to buy a new home, or considering a mortgage, Heritage Bank in Northfield can help. Our ability to make decisions locally provides you the highest level of service at competitive rates. Your finances and home are important to you, and having a staff that you can trust makes all the difference. We make banking easy with real estate specialists and loan officers ready to help you. Stop by Heritage Bank on Highway 3 or contact us at heritagebankmn.com and see how the professionals at Heritage Bank can help you build your future.
You've had a good run, and now after 35 years, it's time to turn over the keys. You built your business from nothing but a dream and hard work, and look at it now. It wasn't always easy, but it was rewarding, and you have the team at Merchants Bank to advise you along the way. Their help with business loans and strategy planning through the years was invaluable, and even now, here at the end, with a succession plan to help turn it over to the next generation. It's good to know that they'll have the same trusted partner to turn to like you did. Thanks, Merchants Bank.
This is Barb from Professional Dental Group, letting you know that the doctors and staff of Professional Dental Group are proud to call themselves Northfield Raiders sports fans. Whether scheduling for an implant, mouth guard, or general visit, we look forward to providing you with the same exceptional care that Professional Dental Group has delivered for over 45 years. So on behalf of Dr. Becky Johnson, Dr. John Nowak, Dr. Brian Cravey, Dr. Tyler Yonke, and Dr. Mallory Peterson, go Raiders!
Welcome back to the Raider Wrap here on KYMN. Jimmy LaRue on a Saturday morning. Man, it is a hot streak out there today. Can you believe it? It's already 2 degrees. Make that 4 degrees above zero. Well, at least it's above, right? And the way it is, and just like in life, at least you're above 6 feet walking around on the planet. So you're breathing, walking and talking and breathing. You got to be thankful for that. It's no matter how bad it looks, at least you got that going for you, which is nice. 7 minutes in front of 11 o'clock. We do have some beautiful blue skies. It's a little deceptive out there. We're going to see temperatures a high of around 11. Tonight, partly cloudy, cooling off to 1 below zero with wind chills about 12 to 15 below. Tomorrow, sunny skies. A high of 12 above, but still wind chills negative. 14 degrees below zero anticipated with those northerly winds tomorrow, Sunday. Sunday night, mostly clear, cooling off to around zero. Those winds kind of subsiding out of the north. And then sunshine and a high again of 15 on Monday. We are currently under absolutely gorgeous skies and four above. Let's take a shift to our high school correspondent, Grant Selko, as Grant brings us the Nordic ski team, Liam Barons, in this week's edition of Meet the Raider.
Hello, Raider Nation. Welcome back to Meet the Raider. I'm your host, Grant Selko, and today in the studio, we have Nordic skier Liam Behrens. To start off this interview, how have you been feeling so far this season as a team?
So far as a team, I think we've had a pretty good year. I mean, we don't have that many boys this year, so we have like 10 skiers, and we don't even start 7 on varsity, but with who we have, we've just been giving it our all, and we've been doing pretty well, I think.
How have you been doing personally?
This is my best year by a lot. Last year, I did all my races on JV. Over summer, I put in like a lot of work on roller skis, which moved me up, and now I've been on varsity for the start of this year, and I'm racing pretty well, getting a lot faster.
And how did you first get into Nordic skiing?
How I first got into Nordic was I quit swimming after 6th grade because I had like ear problems and it was starting to just get too competitive and not that fun. So I needed another winter sport and I decided cross country works great with Nordic. So Nordic was just probably like the best fit for me and it sounded fun.
What is it that you enjoy about Nordic skiing that you like more than other sports that you've tried?
It's hard, but you have to put in a lot of effort. But once you put in all the work, it makes it, like, it pays off really well. And you can, like, see your progress through all the work you've put in, and it turns out good.
And what keeps you pushing yourself every day at practice and during races during the season?
Just trying to get better, keep our team higher in the section, trying to, like, compete with my teammates and compete with other teams just to try to do my best.
And could you describe a typical training routine that you go through in a given practice?
Well, so the past 2 years when we haven't had much snow, we would normally like get our skis and boots and then take a bus up to Bloomington where we would ski on man-made snow for an hour or two. And, like, work on technique and just get some distance in. And then after that, we would come back. But if we didn't have, like, a bus to go up, then we would either, like, run or roller ski if the roads and conditions are good enough.
Do you believe that technique or hard work is more important in Nordic skiing?
I believe that you have to put in the hard work to get the technique, and I think they're both very important parts because without one, you're not really going to achieve the other. You kind of have to use a lot of both when you're doing it.
What kind of measures do you go to prepare for a race?
Usually we take, like, the day before we'll do, like, something easier or not so hard just to, like, keep our body not, like, super worn out. And then for warm-up, usually we do some, like, long ski first, then like some tempo skiing for like bursts of maybe 3 to 4 minutes. And then like sometimes if we're doing sprints, then we'll do like really fast bursts for like 1 to 2 minutes before the race. And then we have like some like leg like stretches and arm stretches that we use to like loosen up our bodies.
And how might you prepare mentally before a race?
I don't know, you just gotta kind of think that you'll do good and, like, it'll be over before you know it, and it's gonna hurt, but you know that, so you just gotta push yourself. And
do you have a specific strategy when you go into a race, or do you just go out there?
Well, usually I take the start, right out the start, I go a little bit faster than normal because you want to get a lead on the person you start with. Because usually you start in, like, groups of 2, and there are multiple heats. So I usually try to get ahead of my opponent if they're not, like, super fast. And then I try to, like, tone it down into my race pace and maybe go a little bit slower in the beginning than I do at the end. Unless it's a sprint, and then you just go all out the entire time.
How do you handle some tough competition when you do ski against someone else?
Well, if you're going against someone super fast, you just kind of think, even if they're a lot better than you, you still got to push as hard as you can and think that maybe one day you'll be just as good as them.
Is it important that your teammates support each other throughout the race?
Yeah, it's really important that they support each other because, like, you need that boost of confidence sometimes when it gets really hard and, like, you're struggling, when you just need, like, a little boost of, like, mental energy, and sometimes even just to, like, let's go, you got this, will help to keep you pushing through the end of the race.
And what might be some of your goals for the season for your team?
I don't know. We're in a pretty tough section, and we don't have that many people this year, so I think we just, as a team, all of us, the scoring varsity, has to just give it their all, and I think we can have some pretty good standings if we do.
What is your personal goal for the season?
My personal goal is to probably get, like, consistently maybe scoring fourth on varsity, because right now I'm usually fourth in skate races and fifth in classic races, so I'm just trying to push past and, like, secure a higher spot and do the best I can.
And what does it take out of your team to be able to possibly win the section this year?
It would take everybody giving all of their effort and everybody putting in the extra work, even on the weekends when we don't have assigned practices, like going up to where there's, like, man-made snow and skiing and just really pushing it and giving it their all.
And what has been your biggest challenge this year during the season?
Probably just the conditions, because we haven't had a ton of snow this year, same with last year. It's been, like, super wet and not, like, the best conditions, so we don't get to ski as much as other teams that are in areas that make snow, so that's probably one disadvantage for Northfield, because we have to go, like, 45 minutes away to where we can ski, whereas other teams can just go every day.
Do you see yourself skiing at the collegiate level or not?
Well, I would really want to. I love skiing, and it's probably my favorite sport. So I really want to, like, just keep going, and, like, if I can, I would love that, and that'd be awesome.
What has been one of your biggest improvements this season?
Probably from, like, when I had just gotten, like, last year, I was, like, okay at JV, and, like, through all the work I put in, I've gotten all the way up to, like, fourth on varsity, so that has been one of my biggest improvements, probably.
And what is one thing in Nordic skiing that some people may not understand?
How difficult the technique is. It's not just, like, all strength, and it's a lot harder than it looks, and that, like, there are, like, there are two different kinds of skiing. There's classic and skate, which are both different, and each one has their own, like, racing style. A lot of people might think it's not quite as hard as it is, because...
Could you describe to me one practice that may have been the hardest for you this season?
One practice that might have been the hardest is when we've gone up to Bloomington to ski, and you just do, like, quick bursts of tempo, or, like, a lot of skiing, like, super fast at one night, and then, like, you're just skiing super hard, and you don't get back until, like, maybe 7 o'clock, and you're just absolutely wiped out.
What's the most difficult part about being a student athlete during the season?
The most difficult part is probably getting work done if you have schoolwork, and you're also, like, going to a meet, say so. So, like, then you're missing maybe your 5th, 6th, and 7th hour, so then you have to do that work at home, or, like, if you just don't have much time for homework because of late night skiing, you really have to, like, do more at home. And
how have you balanced that well this year?
I've just tried to, if I have extra work that I have to do, I just try to get it done or do it during flex time, so I, like, don't have late or missing assignments because those can, like, impact your grade. I've been just trying to get all my work done while skiing the same amount.
What meet has been your favorite in all of the years you've been in Nordic?
My favorite meet that I was that I've ever done was probably last year. We did a meet at a place called Loppet. It was just super fun. There was tons of hills, tons of uphills and downhills. It was like a sprint, but it was just so fun because you got to go around twice because you had two people in the sprint, and each one of you did one lap. You did it until both of you did two laps. The conditions were really great at that meet. It was just overall super fun.
How does Nordic skiing correlate with other sports that you do?
It works a lot at all the parts of your bodies. So I do track and cross country, and Nordic works like your core a lot for running, your legs. It gets them a lot stronger. It boosts your endurance, which helps with just like keep going. And it just helps all parts of your body, which can correlate to almost any sport.
Does your body receive any negative setbacks like towards the end of the season, or is it pretty steady throughout?
Sometimes if you work it a little too hard, you can like strain your muscles and it can like maybe pull something, and it puts a toll on your body and it's really hard. But after the season's over, there's tons of benefits, and personally I feel a lot stronger than I did at the beginning because all the parts of my body have just been worked and gotten stronger, and I've got more endurance and everything.
Has Nordic helped you develop mentally as well?
It's helped me, like, think even if things are going to be hard, you got to, like, push through, and it's helped me get a more positive mindset, which correlates to, like, even school. If you have a test or homework that you, like, don't want to, that's, like, super hard, your mindset makes you want to keep going and push through, even if it's hard and even if you're struggling. Just don't give up.
What's the best piece of advice that you received throughout your career?
Probably never give up. Just keep trying, and it doesn't matter how everybody else does around you. If everybody else is faster, that might be the case, but you kind of give it your best. It doesn't matter how everybody else does, because you might not be able to keep up with everybody. All you can do is the best you can.
And you mentioned earlier the mental positives that Nordic has given you. Have there been any negative setbacks mentally?
Since, like, there's no snow, mentally it's kind of hard because it's not going to be good. It's going to be hard because there's no snow. Other teams are going to be better, so it brings you down, but you still have to just keep pushing through it, even if it's hard and not going that well.
What helps you stay focused in those times of doubt?
Next year it might be better. The conditions and stuff may suck, but that shouldn't hold you back, and you should still just give it all you got and try your hardest, and you shouldn't ever give up just because things aren't going your way. You just gotta keep trying and keep going, no matter what the conditions or what anything else is like.
And what do you believe is the most rewarding part about Nordic?
Probably the feeling after the race when you're done and you did great and everybody's cheering you on, and it's just a great feeling. And also the body benefits, because you feel so much stronger and your body just overall feels better. Makes you feel a lot better about a lot of stuff.
Confidence-wise, how do you feel about how you stack up against the other competition in your section?
I feel like I do pretty good. I mean, I'm not the fastest, but I think if I keep pushing and, like, if I give it my all, I can beat some of their not-quite-at-the-top racers, and I can get ahead of them to score better for my team and place us higher.
Along with individual confidence, how do you feel confidence-wise as a team in your section?
I feel pretty confident in my team because I know all of them push it to their limits and no one holds back, and my whole team gives it all they can, and they push themselves and put in the work, and it shows off with how they do.
Well, thank you for coming in today, Liam. And thank you, KYMN fans, for listening. If you missed a part of this interview live or you just want to listen to it again, head to our website, kymnradio.net, and tap on the sports header. You're with Grant Selko on this week's Meet the Raider on the Raider Wrap. Tune in for more sports this week on KYMN 95.1, The One.
This is Paul Ryland with Johnson Ryland Builders Remodelers. If you want to move in the warm months of the year, you have to make planning and purchasing decisions in the cold months of the year. Designing and building a new home can be one of the most rewarding things you can do for your family. As my dad used to say, God forbid you'd buy a used house when you can buy a new one for me today. Our new model home at 202 Ford Street is ready to be viewed. Check online for open house schedules today. Hit our website today, jrbr.builders, Johnson Ryland Builders Remodelers, where custom homes meet your budget and your dreams.
Wow, 12 years in business! All the hard work and struggles have led to growth and success. And now, after a dozen years under the belt, it's all smooth sailing from here, right? Maybe, maybe not. Looking back, it's the amazing bankers at Merchants Bank that have always been there to lean on. As relationships build, the banker has become a trusted advisor and part of the team. In today's world, things may not always be easy, but Merchants Bank has provided the resource and expertise we've all needed along the way. We've always worked together.
Welcome back to the Raider Wrap right here on KYMN 95.1, The One, and AM 1080. Beautiful, beautiful day going on out there today. A high today of about 11 degrees above, but at least it's above, and it's clear and absolutely stunningly beautiful. And we have got, what do we got? Well, I don't know, 4 degrees above right now, currently in the Cannon Valley. And we want to thank you for joining us this morning. Jimmy LaRue on a Saturday morning for you. So we will, of course, thank our guests here this morning. We want to thank Brooke Sexton, who was able to join us this morning from the high school as the Highliner team prepares for a competition this afternoon in Mendota Heights sometime this afternoon. And then, of course, Doug Davis, the head coach of the boys' swim and dive team, who are off to another 3-0 start on the season, and they're heading down to Austin again this afternoon in some sort of an invitational down there, giving them a little bit of practice here this afternoon as they continue their undefeated season. And then on this week's Meet the Raider, we were able to talk to Liam Behrens, a young man who is participating in the Nordic team. And believe it or not, there's no snow out there, but somehow they're able to compete. You want to tune into that one for sure. So stick around, and if you want to listen back to all the interviews, you can certainly do that. All you have to do is go to kymnradio.net. Correct, AM Radio. So AM 1080 or 95.1 The One, and you can go to kymnradio.net, go to programs, go to the Raider Wrap. You'll find today's date, January 4th, and you just select that, and you can listen back to all the fun and excitement that you can hear in all of these programs. That's what we try to do each and every week, is bring you some information, maybe make it entertaining, maybe make it newsworthy, you know, maybe just talk blubberish, because that's what I'm good at. It's about 12 minutes after 11 o'clock. Like I said, we're at 4 degrees above, beautiful blue skies. We hope you have an absolutely fantastic Saturday afternoon. Welcome to 2025. If you are one of those that believe that we have renewed spirit in each and every new year, I hope you find that spirit, and I hope it brings you great joy and happiness. Hope you can find that 10 days of gratitude today, 10 seconds of gratitude today. Look, the sun is shining. Take a look. It's shining. Sun's shining. Blue skies. Beautiful. And it's something to get you started for 2025. Thanks for joining us this morning. As always, we thank you, and we look forward to talking to you again next week. Don't forget, we do have some games coming up this week. And I know the boys' hockey team is down in Mankato. The girls are up in Moorhead, so hopefully we'll have some scores and highlights from them next week. We're hoping to get Jeff Staub on the program. We haven't talked to Matt Christensen yet. We had Dave Foley, the head coach of the girls' basketball team, last week, who we introduced to the program. And so we've got some other people that still we need to get some people. We need the Nordic team. We need the Alpine team. We need the wrestling team. We need the basketball team to join us yet this year. So we haven't even had the opportunity to get those guys on the air. And I know that they always seem to be a great program to the Raiders sports activities. So we got a whole bunch of stuff we still got to talk about before this winter is done. So with that said, stick around. We've got more music coming your way right here. And don't forget Wendy tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., bringing you all of the sounds of Wendy coming up on KYMN. Thanks a lot, everyone. Have a good day. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you hopefully next week on right here on 95.1, the 1 and AM 1080, KYMN.